This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Olympic champion freethinkers out there, and a fond farewell to non-believer Gore Vidal. We once interviewed Gore Vidal, the writer, on this show, and he died this week. He lived and died a non-believer, and said recently that toward the end of his life he saw no reason to change his mind about that there is nothing more.
I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the August 4th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a state church watchdog and also serves as the nation's largest association of like-minded non-believers, atheists, agnostics, freethinkers, people who use reason informing their opinion about religion. And we're over 19,000 at the moment. It's a top number for us. We grow every year. And we hope, not someday, but today, you will join us at ffrf.org.
Today, we're going to talk with Linda Stevens. She's a plaintiff in the successful federal lawsuit in which an appeals court declared sectarian prayers illegal. It's in the town of Greece, New York.
Linda Stevens is a foundation member. She also heads her local Now chapter. She's a retired librarian. And this case was handed down recently. This decision was handed down recently by the Second Circuit Federal Appeals Court. That's in New York. And it's a big victory, and we're looking forward to meeting her.
Linda's a retired librarian, and she's very, very brave. But courage can happen at any age. Maya Disbrow is 57 years younger than Linda, but at the age of 12, she's fighting the very same fight down in Tennessee.
We became aware of Maya's speech before her county board meeting in Hamilton County, Tennessee, because it was put up on YouTube. And she and her family and many freethinkers there in Hamilton County, Tennessee, like so many around the country, not just in the South and not just Linda Stevens, are fighting prayer, unnecessary government prayer, to open government meetings. It's divisive, it's unnecessary, and it excludes non-believers, and it usually excludes non-Christians.
And we're going to listen to her testimony. It's nice, I think, to hear somebody in Tennessee, all over the country, using the term freethinker. Freethinker is like an umbrella term to include all non-believers, atheists and agnostics. And for a 12-year-old girl to be identifying herself as a freethinker, I think is pretty exciting. So let's listen to 12-year-old Maya Disbrow. She's testifying before the Hamilton County Commission on July the 18th.
Good morning. My name is Maya Disbrow, and I'm 12 years old. I'm a perfectly normal young adult, although some of my friends would beg to differ. I was present at the meeting at which my dad spoke. The prayer was very rude to me and some of my closest friends, not to mention parts of my family. My dad did not put me up to this. I came because I care about this and things like it. All through elementary school, I was teased and ridiculed by people who I thought were my friends. Whenever the subject of me being a freethinker came up, I was singled out by my friends. You were doing the same thing that they did to me at every meeting you have, singling me out, singling out every person in Hamilton County who is not Christian. It is not fair for you to pray openly to your God without praying to all the others as well. I believe a moment of silence would accommodate all beliefs, not just one. And after speaking today, I hope I have friends left at school next year. Good day.
Okay, so that was her speech this July. And in honor of that speech and her speaking out in her community, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is naming Maya, I think it's our fourth, or is it our fifth, student activist awardee of the year. We are sending a check for $1,000 to Maya. It was fun to call her up and kind of hear this pause when she heard that. And
how
actually
many
her
of
family
you,
are members of FFRF.
How many of you listeners are that brave? How many of you would publicly stand up in your city and complain about religion and government?
Well, I would certainly challenge anyone listening to this who lives in a community where your government body is opening civil sectarian meetings, secular meetings with prayer, to speak out. That is the only way to stop it. And that's how FFRF got its start. My mother and I complained about local prayers, eventually stopped them. And county board members, city council members are much more apt to listen to constituents than they are to a legal letter that they're sent from FFRF from another state.
On the video of her talking, there was an armed officer standing behind her. I suppose they were expecting an atheist to do something controversial, but I thought it was cute how she ended it. After speaking today, I hope I have friends left at school next year.
And now we have got lots of news, and here's some fun news. What's going on in Spokane, Dan?
Well, Spokane, Washington, is where our chapter and a number of freethinkers are putting up billboards. The popular acceptance of atheists in the United States is still at the bottom of the totem pole. It's lower than any other minority group. But part of the reason why it's gradually improving, even though we're still at the bottom, we're improving, and Annie Laurie's going to talk about that in a minute, is that many atheists and agnostics are coming out of the closet. They're speaking forth. And this billboard campaign in Spokane is part of that.
And the Freedom From Religion Foundation launched the Out of the Closet campaign a couple of years ago. We started it in Madison, Wisconsin, have taken it to the Bible Belt, Raleigh, Tulsa, Columbus, Phoenix, and now we are working with our Spokane chapter. Seven of our members or families participated. They're up now in Spokane, and I'm proud to say we have our first lesbian couple, an interracial couple, featured on a billboard. They're married, and they're identified that way. We have another family. We have an ex-minister, and we do have a clip from KREM2 News Spokane about that.
A new campaign popping up across the Inland Northwest claims it's introducing you to your friendly neighborhood atheist. Seven billboards feature local atheists who want to send a message.
Country's Katie Unis spoke to people behind this campaign and some business owners near those signs.
Atheists don't advertise.
That is, until last week, when atheist billboards went up around the Spokane area. Their messages? Atheist family, good without a God. On bended knee, not for me. Or this sign on North Market Street, near the Fencemen.
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Obviously, they paid for it to be up there.
All locations are on main streets like this one along Sprague. They are facing traffic that's coming into Spokane, so people have the best opportunity to see the message.
The message is sponsored by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a nonprofit based in Madison, Wisconsin. Billboards feature local atheists like Ray Ideas. He was a clergy in the Lutheran Church for 30 years.
The day I retired is the last time I went to church.
Ideas questioned religion for years, but feared coming out, as he puts it. He says the billboards are to let people with questions about the existence of God know they're not alone.
Because we sense that there's a need for it, and there's enough of them that we simply want to respond to it.
He estimates anywhere from 16% to 25% of people living in the Inland Northwest are atheists.
There are loads of people that do not really believe, but they need that fellowship that they get in the church.
He acknowledges not everyone will like the message.
Two things you can't argue with people about, politics and religion, because everyone's point of view has got to be the right one. You know.
The billboards will be up for around a month, introducing people to, as the group says, their friendly neighborhood atheists. Reporting in Spokane, Katie Udis, KREM 2 News.
And that was a July 31st story that ran in Spokane, and it was really cute. You see all the billboards by the side of the road. Joshua and Chandra Alto, who's a family in Spokane, are featured with their children, including a baby. And they have the slogan, Atheist Family, Good Without a God. And Harlan and Kay Hayes, who self-identify as great-grandparent non-theist, their slogan was, Evidence and Science, Trump Myth, Reason Wins. Another, truth is real, God is imaginary, states Sharon Meese. David Roeder, on bended knee, not for me. Stacy and Amanda Schaefer of Spokane, they're married. Their billboard says, our morality comes from reality. And of course, Ray Ideas, his was now preaching reason, not religion. Ray was a former Lutheran minister who used to be on our show. So congratulations to all you Spokane free thinkers.
And did you read David Roeder? He was the one who helped us put that together. He's the chapter, the Inland Freethought Society head. What did David say?
Oh, his says, I did read it. On bended knee, not for me.
That's right. That's cute. Now, we have other news. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Boy Scouts, Dan?
An atheist former Boy Scout says, shame on the BSA. One of our members, William Dusenberry, who are active with FFRF chapters, he and a friend are former Boy Scouts. They've had it with the Boy Scouts. They're encouraging all former Boy Scouts to speak out, to return their medals to the BSA, or otherwise protest Boy Scout bigotry. Bill, who was on our show before, he helped found Tulsa's chapter. He's returning his Boy Scout shirt and 3 merit badges, none for bigotry. He's returning them to Jimmy Carter, a member of the Boy Scout Advisory Council. He sent a letter asking Carter to publicly resign, and he encourages all former Boy Scouts who are non-theists or disgusted by the Boy Scouts' most recent repudiation of gay members, as well as non-believers, to do the same. So the Boy Scouts, the court has ruled that the Boy Scouts of America is a private religious group. They are free to discriminate, and yet they are still given a congressional charter and acting like they're a quasi-public organization.
And also William Van Druten, who heads our Lake Superior Freethinkers chapter in Duluth, was part of Troop 88 in San Francisco, and he sent a picture of himself holding up his Eagle Scout medal with the words ashamed, and is calling on others either to send back their badges or do likewise. And he pointed out that when he was young, nobody bothered us with what superstition we did or did not have, whether we were gay, straight, black, white, yellow, or gray. We learned lashing, tenting, knotting, truth-telling. We hiked. We backpacked. Yet now I discover that my youth delight is captured by bigots, and I am ashamed of my badges and my Eagle Award, too. So we are encouraging former Boy Scouts, those who grew up and are concerned about this ongoing bigotry. If they're so bigoted, they didn't even bother to reaffirm that they won't allow non-theists. That's just a given. They apparently reconsidered on the gay stuff and then decided they weren't going to.
Well, we've talked about Paul Trout and Daryl Lambert, who were Eagle Scouts, who were denied their badges because after all those years and all their great leadership, they found out they were atheists. So it is a discriminatory group. It is a group that should not be receiving public funds or any charitable dollars as well.
Now, to get back to some of the polls about the status of freethinkers, obviously the Boy Scouts put us at the bottom of the barrow. There was another poll that sort of half and half. It was by Gallup. They did their usual election year poll about who would you vote for. And 9 out of 10 Americans would vote for a well-qualified black, female, Jew.
Catholic, Hispanic.
Catholic, Hispanic, gay. But only 54% would vote for a qualified atheist candidate. So we're at the bottom of the social totem pole politically. However, we have made movement. When Gallup first started asking this question in 1958, only 18% said they would vote or would consider voting for an atheist presidential candidate. And last year we got to 50%, and this is the first year that a majority, 54%, would consider voting for a well-qualified atheist candidate. And so I guess my response is that the other study that's significant is Pew, aggregated studies over 10,000 surveyed showing that almost one out of five adult Americans today is non-religious. So the demographics, the public and politicians have not caught up with the changing demographics. And my question is, when are politicians going to start wooing the secular vote? That's a lot of people.
Or when are they going to read the Constitution that says there shall be no religious test for public office?
So coming up, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker, and we have a treat with a new, at least new to me, song written by Cole Porter. And then after that break, we'll talk with Linda Stevens, a plaintiff in a successful federal lawsuit. Successful so far, the appeals court has ruled in their favor about sectarian prayers in city government. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-directors of the nonprofit, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That's spelling it two ways. And we work for separation of church and state and to promote free thought. And we hope you will join us at ffrf.org.
And one of the ways to promote free thought is to talk about the contributions in history that have been made by atheists and agnostics. Last weekend, we were having a family get-together at our house, and Annie Laurie was in the kitchen, and she was playing a CD, a Mandy Patinkin CD. The title of the CD is Experiment. And she yelled, "Hey, Dan, listen, he's singing about science. Have you ever heard this song?" And I came in, "I've never heard that song. It's a song called Experiment." And it was really cute lyrics, and I said, "I wonder who wrote that?" And I looked it up. And surprise, surprise, after all the reading I've done about Cole Porter and his life and his history, I'd never heard of this song. The song Experiment was written by Cole Porter, whom we've talked about a lot on this show. If you listen regularly, you know Cole Porter had to come out of two closets as gay and atheist and wrote a lot of irreverent words. But this song, Experiment, is a little brief song from a 1933 London musical. The musical's called Nymph Errant. Let me read the lyrics real fast before we listen to Mandy. "Before we leave these portals to meet our fellow mortals, there's just one final message I would give to you. We've all learned reliance on the sacred teachings of science, so I hope through life you never will decline, in spite of Philistine defiance, to do what all good scientists do. Experiment. Make it your motto day and night. Experiment, and it will lead you to the light. The apple on the top of the tree is never too high to achieve, so take an example from Eve. Experiment. Be curious. Though interfering friends may frown, get furious at each attempt to hold you down. If this advice you'll only employ, the future can offer you infinite joy and merriment. Experiment, and you'll see."
And here is that song that I was listening to that I hadn't remembered hearing before, Mandy Patinkin singing the Cole Porter song, Experiment.
"Before we leave these portals to meet our fellow mortals, there's just one final message I would give to you. We all have learned reliance on the sacred teachings of science, so I hope through life you never will decline, in spite of Philistine defiance, to do what all good scientists do. Experiment. Make it your motto day and night. Experiment. And it will lead you to the light. The apple on the top of the tree is never too high to achieve. So take an example from me. Experiment. Be curious. Though interfering friends may frown, get furious at each attempt to hold you down. If this advice you'll only employ, the future can offer you infinite joy and merriment. Experiment, and you'll see."
The song Experiment, written by Cole Porter, that was performed by Mandy Patinkin, and a nice discovery.
Yeah, maybe they should make all science students sing that song before they start doing their experiments.
That would be cute.
In a later show, in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about a brand new free thought song written by another Broadway composer, but I'm not going to spill the beans right now. It's pretty exciting. I'm Dan Barker.
Stay tuned. to hear from Linda Stevens, a plaintiff in a recent major federal court victory, stopping sectarian prayer at her city council meeting. And she's a member of FFRF, a now activist, and we're looking forward to meeting Linda Stevens and hearing all about this fight in Greece, New York.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. On the phone with us, we have Linda Stevens, who's a retired school librarian. She is a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. She is currently president of the Greater Rochester Chapter of the National Organization for Women and Vice President of the Rochester Chapter of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and serves on the board of MC Pearl, which is Monroe Citizens for Public Education and Religious Liberty, a state church watchdog that focuses on public schools. And we invited Linda rather belatedly to be on Free Thought Radio to celebrate a very major state church victory at the very end of May. Linda is plaintiff with Susan Galloway in a federal lawsuit that was filed about 4 years ago against the town of Greece, challenging the town's unconstitutional practice of beginning town board meetings with sectarian prayers invariably led by local Christian pastors. And Linda and Susan are represented by Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the Alliance Defense Fund, which is known as ADF, and they've recently changed their name, and I can't remember what it is now. Maybe Linda will know. Is a very arch-conservative Christian right theocratic kind of organization defending the town. And in late May, Linda and Susan had a huge victory. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in their favor. So congratulations, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about how this lawsuit developed and what you're suing over?
Well, in 1998, we got a new town supervisor was elected in the town of Greece, and the following year, he introduced this practice of having inviting Christian pastors from the town to give prayers. And so that went on for a while, and it was always Christian pastors. And then in 2007, an incident happened where a young woman who did not live in the town of Greece. She attended a Greece town board meeting on another issue completely unrelated to the prayer issue, and she saw this at the beginning of the meeting, she saw this Christian pastor get up and give one of his prayers, and she was appalled, and she went to the press. She brought it to the attention of the press, and there was a lot of there were newspaper articles about this. And myself and Susan Galloway, who is a member of the local chapter of the National Organization for Women, we've been talking about this for some time. You know, Susan is Jewish, I'm an atheist, and we had objected to these prayers, but we had never done anything about it at that point. And we decided that it was time for us to do something about it. So Susan and I made a made an appointment. We asked to meet with the town supervisor. We didn't get to do that, but we met with a couple of other town officials and asked them to stop doing this prayer business. And we were told that they couldn't do that because it would upset the pastors in the town. That was one of their reasons. And we were also, Susan and I were also told that we, if we did not like the prayers, we could leave the room for while the prayers were going on. So about that time, I had read in the Americans United newsletter, Church and State, about a case very similar to this, or a situation very similar to this in Forsyth County, North Carolina. And so I contacted the Americans United about it, and they wrote a letter to the town supervisor, you know, pointing out that what he was doing was illegal and asking him to stop it. And that letter was just ignored. So
sounds familiar.
So then the next step was a lawsuit was filed about this issue. So and it went, that was in 2008, I think. And then it took until 2010. And the U.S. District Judge Charles Saragusa, who's located in Rochester, he dismissed our suit. He said the prayer practice was not begun to proselytize or disparage any other religion, and that clergy from all denominations were invited. In other words, Methodists and Catholics and whatnot. But that wasn't really true. All denominations in the town of Greece were not invited. Mormons, for example.
Before we get to the appeal, this case was already turning into a pretty big case for the religious right. At what point did the ADF come on to defend? I mean, did they come in and offer right away to defend the town against your lawsuit?
Yes, they did. As soon as the Americans United filed the paperwork, I think almost immediately the Alliance Defense Fund
came on.
Offered pro bono,
quote unquote pro bono
defense for the town. Yeah.
Well, they do that in many of our cases as well. They like to.
They love to interfere
And get publicity and get memberships.
They never pay the costs if the town loses.
By the way, it's Greece as in the country, not as in the musical, right? Greece.
Right, Greece, New York is a suburb of Rochester. It's a big suburb. There are about 100,000 people, almost 100,000 people live in the town of Greece, so it's quite big.
So maybe you should call it ancient Greece. They're still back in the dark ages, huh?
Now, I understand. When did there were three other Christian conservative groups. And I think, did they get involved when you appealed to the Second Circuit?
They filed amicus briefs. The former Judge Roy Moore was his group was one that filed one, and the Wall Builders group.
That's that notorious group. David Barton, who wants to tear down the wall of separation between church and state, and is pretty free with his quotes.
Yeah,
and founding fathers.
All three were, very Christian, conservative groups that were supportive of wanted to support the town.
And the Liberty Institute, and that's affiliated with Jerry Falwell, isn't it?
I believe it is. I'm not real familiar with it.
Yeah, and so anyway, they were all looking. They've all been very interested in this case. So,
right.
You and American United decided to appeal. And which we were very glad to hear, and especially that in late May, was it May 31st or May 30th? A decision
it
came
was,
down.
It was in late May, yeah.
A decision came down in your favor. And why don't you tell us something about that senior judge who wrote the decision?
Guido Calabresi was a panel of three judges who decided the case, and I went to New York City. I was interested in, I thought this would be a really interesting opportunity to see our judicial system in action. So I went to New York City to see it, and each of the lawyers had 15 minutes to present their case, and the three judges would interrupt with questions, and then Judge Calabresi wrote the final decision and overturned the district court's decision unanimously. And the Americans United lawyers were very happy about that because there were a variety of they weren't all liberal judges who decided the case. So, and Calabresi is a very distinguished person. He was the head of Yale Law School for a while, and he's published a lot, and he's very, very well thought of. He's a senior judge. So,
now he said that the town's desire to mark the solemnity of its proceedings with the prayer is understandable. Americans have done that for more than 200 years. I'm sorry to see that language. But when one creed dominates others, regardless of a town's intentions, constitutional concerns come to the fore. So what he's done is say they have to be non-sectarian, or they have to... What exactly is he saying
well,
in his ruling?
Well, they said that most definitely the town was affiliating itself with the Christian religion, and they had to stop that. And they could, one way to do that, or the way to do that would be to go outside the town. If there were no a variety of faith in the town, then they must go outside the town to get them. But I think the most important thing in the decision, from my point of view, was that he said, you know, that towns or that municipalities should think long and hard about even having prayers, because it was so easy to for a pastor or whatever to feel the need to proselytize or disparage those of other religions. So really, it was that's the part that I like.
That best, yeah, because you know, you're the atheist plaintiff here. And there's a Jewish plaintiff. Maybe Susan can be satisfied to have more rabbis, but all of these prayers are going to make you an outsider.
Right. I didn't like it, but apparently because of what's gone on.
The court precedent.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But even if they're not proselytizing, they're advertising for their church. They're cozying up to government. Look at us. We've been selected by the city. And we're important, and so they're using it to make their presence known in that community.
Yeah, absolutely. And Susan and I were disparaged too. You know, not just by the town officials who told us if we didn't like the prayers, you know, we could leave mm-hmm. during the prayers. But one of the pastors one evening made a little speech before he launched into his prayer and said that you know the good people of Greece were not complaining about these prayers, and that that the people that were ignorant of history, and you know, he really was quite abusive to us. So.
The good people of Greece will want prayer, and the bad people won't want prayers. What he
right,
basically
exactly,
was saying.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we are very pleased that you got this ruling. We're going to talk about what's going on with it. In the last segment, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are talking with Linda Stevens.
I'm Dan Barker. We'll be back to talk more with Linda about her recent victory in a federal appeals court decision about prayer at city council.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I am Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie. And we have on the phone with us from Greece, New York, a retired librarian, an FFRF member, a state church activist, and a successful plaintiff, Linda Stevens.
And Linda, you must there must be something in the air out there, because you live in the area where Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Rochester, Seneca Falls, all of that, and you work with now. More than a century and a half ago, the atheist Elizabeth Cady Stanton was agitating for equal rights, and here you are continuing that tradition.
Right. Rochester, there's a great deal of social activism in Rochester on all different issues, and of course we have Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass and, you know, a lot of role models.
And, well, now you. Now, we were talking about your victory in May before the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, where a 3-0 panel unanimously ruled that the prayers are just too sectarian in Greece, New York. And so tell us what's going on with that case right now.
Well, we're waiting after the decision from the Second Circuit Court. A town official told the press that they would definitely appeal back to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals and ask for what's called an en banc decision, where the whole, all of the justices would rule on it. But as I understand, that's very, very difficult to get circuit courts of appeals to do, and it's very, very rare. So I don't know they'll be with that.
They have like 90 days to file that, isn't that right?
Right, right.
So they
and
haven't filed it yet.
The town official also told the reporters that if they were unsuccessful there, they might appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's the last we've heard about that.
Now, tell us the kinds of prayers that you were encountering in Greece, New York.
Oh, they almost always ended with "In Jesus' name," or some "We pray," or some variation of that. And around the holidays, like Christmas, there would be a lot of references to specific things from Christianity. And
these are always by clergy people,
right?
Ministers.
Always. What the town made the argument, so the supervisor made the argument that, well, if, non-Christians want prayers, then they could go out and find somebody to do a prayer, and they wouldn't object to that. But the town wasn't going to do that. They had a list of their
preferred clergy
pastors, and they were going to stick with that.
Well, that shows pretty clear governmental endorsement of and preference for some religions over others, doesn't
it? And entanglement, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And
What do you tell your friends and neighbors about why you care so deeply about this problem of religion and government?
Well, it's just insulting, and if you're not a Christian and you go to these government meetings, you should feel that you're welcome. And when you're asked by some of these pastors, which happened, to stand and pray in Jesus' name, it's outrageous. And I'm coming from this feminist background where you see what happens, not just in this country, but all over the world, when religion gets mixed up with government and what happens to women, or the bad things that happen to women. So,
Well, yes, just this week we saw a woman in Sudan who's been sentenced to be stoned to death for adultery.
Right.
We saw a adulterous couple stoned to death last week. It's frightening. And we see in this country all of these issues over, contraception, abortion. Women's issues are figuring pretty highly in this election year, aren't they?
Absolutely. And the Roman Catholic Church now, they're doing their thing, trying to use the government to keep birth control out of the hands of women, basically, is what they're doing. And so they had one of these, actually they had more than one, demonstration in front of the federal building in downtown Rochester, and I think they had two. And the second one, our now chapter and our Americans United chapter had a counter demonstration in front of the federal building too.
Yeah, good for
pointing
you.
Out that religious dogma was bad for your health. So.
We did that too at in downtown Madison.
The Fortnight for
a lot
Freedom.
Of
they have
FFR members. We asked them to counter picket, and they've got a bunch of lawsuits going, and I suppose they think something will stick. But I think it's a weak case. But it's certainly a threat when we have government-backed religion. Whose religion and what part of their religion are they going to want to put into our laws?
Well, Elizabeth Cady Stanton said that the Bible was the biggest problem. The Bible was the biggest stumbling block in the path towards women's equality.
The Bible and the church have been the greatest stumbling blocks in the way of women's emancipation.
Yeah, you got the quote right. She's got it memorized.
Well, I've read her Bible that she put together, so it's very interesting, yeah. She was certainly a critic of what was happening with religion in her time and the mixing of religion and government.
Boy, was she a critic. Have you got any thoughts about this, what will happen if the other side doesn't win any of its appeals? What will happen at the Greece level? Do you think that they'll drop prayer altogether if they can't dominate it with Christianity?
I'm thinking they will. You know, most of the people that live in the town of Greece are probably Christians, but we're like most other places in this country. There's a diversity. You know, we have a Turkish cultural center in the town of Greece. You know, if they wanted a Muslim, an imam or something to give a prayer, they could have contacted the Turkish cultural center, or, you know, the president of the Rochester. We have a Rochester atheist group. It's a meetup group in Rochester, and the past president that just stepped down. He lived in the town of Greece. We have Unitarians. You know, we have Mormons and Jews and Wiccans, and we have every kind of faith you can think of.
Well, most residents are white, but that doesn't make it a white town.
Right.
Well, we congratulate you on this victory, and I did get to meet you very briefly at the National Organization for Women conference in Baltimore in June.
Right.
So glad you came up and introduced yourself, and we'll be following what happens very carefully, and thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate the work that you and Dan do. You do a fabulous job, and I love the
We're out of time, Linda.
In the New York Times, the full page letter.
Linda, we're out of time. I'm sorry we have to cut you off here.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thank Dave, our engineer, and remind you that you can find out more at ffrf.org/radio.
And join us at ffrf.org or ask for more information and contact us at 1-800-335-4021 for a free sample of our newspaper, Free Thought Today. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio, Blasphemous Broadcasting, and Greta Christina will be our guest next week.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday